Picture a Houston Rockets executive staring at his draft board, armed with the most sophisticated analytics in basketball. His model says one player is a can't-miss prospect. Every number screams success. Yet something nags at him. A shirtless photo showing the player looking pudgy, a nickname his staff gave him, man boobs. Despite all the data, this mental image overrides everything. The player flops. Meanwhile, another prospect, his model dismissed, becomes an NBA All-Star. What's happening here isn't stupidity. It's something far more interesting. The systematic way our minds betray us, even when we know better. This is the puzzle that obsessed two Israeli psychologists, Daniel Kahneman and Amos Tversky. Their partnership would become one of history's most transformative intellectual collaborations, fundamentally changing how we understand human judgment. When Barack Obama awarded Kahneman the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2013, it marked how thoroughly their ideas had infiltrated everything from medical diagnosis to financial regulation to how we draft basketball players. What began as abstract psychological experiments became a revolution in self-understanding. Danny Kahneman never trusted his own memory, despite delivering entire semesters of lectures without notes. His defining emotion is doubt, observed a former student. That skepticism was forged in Nazi-occupied Paris, where young Danny wore the yellow Star of David with such shame he'd arrive early to school to avoid being seen. Once, an SS soldier, the uniform he'd been taught to fear most, unexpectedly embraced him and showed him a photo of his own son. People were endlessly complicated and interesting, his mother had taught him, and this encounter proved it. Amos Tversky embodied everything Danny wasn't, a swaggering Israeli paratrooper who never hesitated when jumping from planes. Amos earned one of Israel's highest military honors for rescuing a soldier who'd collapsed on an active explosive. Physicist Dick Nisbet quipped, "The sooner you figure out that Amos is smarter than you are, the smarter you are." While Danny lived with perpetual uncertainty, Amos moved through life with remarkable freedom from doubt. In spring 1969, Danny invited Amos to his seminar, where Amos presented research suggesting people were conservative Bayesians. They updated beliefs with new information, but insufficiently. This implied humans were natural statisticians behaving as if they knew complex formulas. Danny was baffled. Teaching statistics had shown him students didn't grasp base rates or sample sizes. "I knew I was a lousy intuitive statistician," he said, "and I really didn't think I was stupider than anyone else." Danny aggressively challenged Amos. Unusually, Amos didn't dominate. Something shifted. By fall 1969, they became inseparable, disappearing behind closed doors amid heated discussion and laughter. Their first joint work demonstrated even trained experts mistakenly believed small samples were more representative of populations than they actually were. What Danny remembered most was the laughter. In Amos's company, he felt funny for the first time. There was something liberating about the arrogance. It was extremely rewarding to feel like Amos, smarter than almost everyone. By 1971, their collaboration had deepened remarkably. They finished each other's sentences, spending hours in laughter-filled conversation. As Danny ascribed it, "We were sharing a mind." Their research explored how people reason under uncertainty, introducing heuristics, mental shortcuts that often work but create systematic errors. The first was representativeness. People judge probability by comparing situations to mental stereotypes. They created Tom W., a fictional character with stereotypical computer scientist traits. Despite being told only 7% of students were computer scientists, subjects confidently predicted Tom was one, completely ignoring base rates. They also identified the availability heuristic, judging probability by what's easily recalled. When they read name lists where famous women appeared alongside more total men, students incorrectly judged there were more women. These shortcuts aren't about stupidity. They often work well, but they systematically fail when memorable examples distort judgment, affecting everything from divorce predictions to international conflicts. After the Yom Kippur War, Danny and Amos shifted from studying judgment to decision-making. They discovered people behaved differently with losses than gains. When facing losses, people became risk-seeking rather than risk-averse. This explained why people buy both lottery tickets and insurance. Simple experiments revealed the power of framing. When choosing between saving 200 lives for certain versus gambling to save 600 or none, people chose certainty. But framing the identical choice as 400 people dying for certain versus a gamble where nobody or 600 die, people took risks. Same math, different frame, opposite choices. Richard Thaler, a struggling young economist, discovered their work in 1976. Their prospect theory explained irrational behaviors in mathematical language economists could understand. Their 1979 paper became one of the most cited academic works ever, fundamentally challenging the assumption that humans are rational economic actors. At Canada's largest trauma center, Don Rettelmeyer treated a young woman from a car collision. While addressing her fractures, the team noticed her irregular heartbeat. When she mentioned thyroid problems, they immediately assumed hyperthyroidism was the cause. Rettelmeyer intervened. Hyperthyroidism is a classic cause of an irregular heart rhythm, but hyperthyroidism is an infrequent cause of an irregular heart rhythm. By forcing the team to consider base rates, they discovered her collapsed lung, the actual problem. The staff had leapt to a diagnosis that fit a coherent story without considering statistical likelihood. Rettelmeyer later collaborated with Amos on research showing doctors treated individual patients differently than groups with identical conditions. Their work revealed that awareness of cognitive biases wasn't enough to overcome them. Even after Daryl Morey explicitly warned his basketball staff about anchoring and confirmation bias, these mental errors persisted. Managing organizations had become like taking apart a complicated clock, only to discover an important part was inside our own minds. Despite their success, tensions grew. By 1974, Danny had left his marriage. Their collaboration continued, but as accolades accumulated, a painful asymmetry emerged. In 1984, Amos received a MacArthur Genius Grant, citing only his work with Danny, yet Danny wasn't mentioned. Amos was furious. What are these people thinking? How can they give a prize to just one of a winning pair? The breaking point came during joint lectures at the University of Michigan. After Danny presented new work, a colleague asked where their ideas came from. Amos responded, "Danny and I don't talk about these things." A moment Danny later identified as the beginning of the end. By 1987, Danny wrote, "The very thought of telling you of any idea that I like makes me anxious." In October 1993, their attempt to write a joint response to critics reignited tensions, culminating in Danny divorcing Amos as a friend. 3 days later, Amos called with devastating news: terminal cancer, 6 months to live. To friend Avishai Margalit, Amos said stoically, "Life is a book. The fact that it was a short book doesn't mean it wasn't a good book." He died on June 2, 1996. On October 9, 2002, Danny won the Nobel Prize in Economics, an honor that couldn't be awarded to Amos posthumously.